order. Mr. Strophis ran to the truck to get his bag, and he said go ahead and start, so we'll get going here. Welcome, everybody. Eddie, you got us a,
something you want
to start on? Or?
As far as I remember, I when we get into this a little further, I do need James, if he doesn't mind, to come and talk to you. You know, we talked last week about this being... actually separate from assessment, you know, taxes and stuff like that, although it will impact that somewhat. I did make a couple of statements about when something becomes residential as far as taxes are concerned and stuff like that, and I'm not not 100% accurate on what I stated to you at that time. I did sit with James a little bit, and it's a little more complicated. And he's got some varying criteria that he uses to just say, you know, this is when it becomes residential. So probably should have him talk to you about that. Again, we're not looking at assessment, but it will somewhere down the line, I'm pretty sure, affect assessment and things like that. So I want to bring that to your attention. When we left last week, I believe the intention was to have one residential, we talked about, I mean, not residential, agriculture. We talked about two at one time, then we settled on 2 acres and above. So what we took was the language there, and then just put in some permitted uses and everything again for you to look at. Made a few changes. It will have to have, again, some more language as we go through. But probably in this situation, we're going to, we've got some, and I'm giving a copy of it, we've got some material in our code book that states, you know, as far as when you're building a home, whether it's agriculture or residential, whatever the case might be, what your setbacks and things like that are. We have some minimum lot sizes depending on what you're doing and what kind of structure you're building and stuff like that. But just put in a few things here for you to review and everything. Perhaps, there's things you want to add, things you want to take out and everything. Took the same exact list, didn't go through the exhaustive list that I put on the back of the packet that I gave you last week, the 3-page list of uses in a county or something like that as far as land's concerned. Kept the list exactly the same and everything, and so we'll need to probably go into that somewhat and everything, but did bring you a residential copy today also. At this present time, we're looking at basically 3 residential districts, and they go from single family residential to multifamily, and then we put in your RV and your mobile home parks, and that's about as far as we're gonna go. But that's kind of where it stands, and basically what we said on agriculture is that agriculture will be 2 acres and larger.
Is it 2 or 10? I can't remember the last how we did.
Yeah, we had talked for a long time, and I believe these two gentlemen had agreed. That 2 acres was,
okay.
I believe that's where we start. With Mr. Strophis, we had stopped and said we might need 2 districts,
right,
and everything. And then we went back and said, no, we're just going to make 2 acres and larger. And in my recollection, 2 acres and larger, and we will have 1 district. Now, that's what I remember. That's what I presented to you. If we need another district,
I don't think we do in agriculture.
I don't have a problem with it and everything. When we got into permitted conditional uses, that seemed to clarify things a little bit more, I think. And so what I've done is gone down through the agriculture there and just tried to split this up in a little bit. And so if you'll look over that, I guess that's probably the best place to start. We did settle on 2 acres and larger. We did say that on agricultural land, we're not too much concerned about the type of structure, single family residential, site built, manufactured home. We do have a duplex on there that we, as permitted, because we do have a section in our code book, and I've given you that page in your packet, a couple pages out of the code book there. To build a duplex right now requires 3 acres or more, single owner, and that's allowed in Taney County. So if you're on agricultural land and you wanted to build a duplex, and you know, if you're full blown and you want to live on one side and have your farmhand live on one side, or you know, you live on one side and part of the family live on the other side or something like that, duplex is permitted at this particular time under our code book. There are some rules and regulations for it, like you'll find on most things there. I did not take the time to go in and put all the rules and regulations, but, you know, we just said under agricultural, pretty much any type of home you want to build out there would be acceptable, with the exception if you get into threeplex and up, something like that, then we view that differently, and we have different rules and regulations for that, which would require a change, a land use change. So did not put that down there under agricultural.
Eddie, let me ask you this. You did the 3 acres, and it's been there. And that's basically, if you got a duplex, you have to have a larger sewer system than what we have on a requirement 2-acre track with a sewer system, right?
Yes, sir. You do. You have to have a system that's big enough to handle both sides. And of course, you know, just because we call it the duplex doesn't mean it's not going to be 5 or 6 bedrooms on each side. Mm-hmm. So that again, would go through the sewer district. Right now, if you're going to build a duplex and sell, or if you're going to build a duplex, other than on this 3-acre provision that we've got, it has to be done under condominium style of ownership anywhere else in the county. So there are places where they are built differently, but the reason being there is because the fire codes do not kick in as far as inspection and everything is concerned on that, unless it is considered a commercial type operation.
All right. So if someone wanted to build a duplex or actually 3 units or more, then they have to come to you to get permission anyway through the planning and zoning that we already have.
Yes, sir, that is correct.
And the 3 acres doesn't apply if they want to go over a duplex.
No, sir.
Okay.
We have provisions, like I say, to make a duplex. If you came to me today and said, I want to build a duplex out on my farm, and we'd say, okay, here's the provisions, 3 acres, you're going to have to, you know, have a permit from the sewer district, you're going to have to be the whole ownership of it, you can't sell half of it or offer, split it off or anything like that, it's going to sit on 3 acres, it will be 1 unit. Now, you could sell the whole duplex and the 3 acres off if you chose to do that, as you would a single family home, but otherwise, anything like that would have to come through planning and zoning and through the sewer district.
Okay.
What's our agenda today?
Well, I just asked. I don't see where
you did schedule something in at 8 o'clock this morning, or had yesterday. I don't know if it came out or not. It was going to be a quick thing.
Do you have the agenda right for you? What did you show?
Pat, are you here for something on the agenda? Just
no.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing until.
At 9 o'clock administrative.
Which is minutes, and then nothing until 10.
Good. All right.
I just want to listen yesterday, or Monday, I thought I heard something.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't say anything.
Two things already is, one, the duplex we were just now talking about.
Yes, sir.
That came before the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Yes, sir.
A week ago Monday, I guess it was, and there was no vote made on it. We've got one attorney in town that has brought that up. Y'all probably got info from him, Harry Styron. I guess I'd say he's got a different, he wants us to go a different direction than we are today. And I think it's a pretty good size issue. And I don't know, do we want to set a time aside?
It is an issue. It is something that I'm trying to address under what we would call your overlay districts when we get down to those in this process.
Right.
Right now, as a duplex, the fire district treats it as single family residential. They will not look at the construction. They will not be concerned about firewalls, common attics, anything like that. So they just don't inspect it at all. The Planning and Zoning Board was of the opinion that since there are no building codes in Taney County and as Planning and Zoning, we don't have the right to say you need to at least build a firewall here or you need to, you know, do some basics here on that, it would probably be best to leave that issue alone until we can address it either through what we would call an overlay district or have those come through as condominiums so that they do fall under fire codes at that particular time. That was the whole issue. They chose to, because of the inability to feel like they're protecting the safety of people who would buy duplexes and everything like that, to not vote on changing the way we do business at the current time.
Okay. And so you said something in there. Are we going to tackle this later then? Seems like
it is something that I would. I think there is a way that we can. Whether it will be acceptable or not, I don't know. The packet I gave you last week did talk a little bit about overlay districts, and it's something where we would allow the developer to, if he wanted to come in and build those, and if he wanted to put his own restrictions on himself as far as what our concerns are, why we don't do that, and he was able to then alleviate our concerns, that our board would at that particular time under the overlay district have the option to approve that, which would allow individual ownership of each side of a duplex or something like that. It may not go anywhere, gentlemen, but that's one way that I've seen to give us the possibility of doing that without the addition of building codes or without having to worry about the fire district coming in to check that out. So
my thought is, and I'd like to hear the other commissioners' thoughts, that we need to set a time in the near future and get it on the table and come to some resolution.
Again, that is in your packet as part of these districts that you're going through. So my guess is that we would probably hit that next week or you know sometime. But if you want a specific time just for that, that's totally fine.
Invite some developers, the attorney that's brought it up, and others that might be looking at that. Sean, come up. Everybody's welcome to speak, but we do need you to come to one of the mics, please.
Okay. I just wanted to talk about, well, before you get too far off the agricultural stuff, too, just really, really quick about that, and just a suggestion. Instead of writing in 2 acres minimum, I don't care what you all decide on the minimums, but if you're going to settle on the minimum of whatever our minimum is for sewer, then why put in the number? Just put in, refer to back what the minimum is, because if we change the minimum, then we'll have to make sure we change it there, and that's part of what our code book's been missing before. We've changed one part and didn't change the other because we put solid numbers in there. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't follow you. Try me again.
Okay. Our minimum for sewer right now is 2 acres.
Correct.
And so it sounds like that's what you're looking at doing for agriculture is a minimum of 2 acres. That's fine. I don't have any issues with that. But what I'm saying is if you actually put in the code agriculture of a minimum of 2 acres, if we were later down the date, whether it's a year, 10 years, 25 years, whatever, change that minimum to 3 acres, then not only would we have to catch it there, but we'd have to catch it in this part of the, if you would just have it follow whatever our minimum standard is instead of 2 acres,
sure,
that makes more sense than putting a solid number in there to me. So, and on the on the issue of the duplexes real quick, which Eddie explained both of that, most of that, but I was the one pushing to do something on that, whatever our decision was made. And the reason there was no vote was that exact reason. There was nothing to change, so there was no vote. It wasn't that we ignored it. It's just that we didn't vote to deny or anything like that. And at least for me, the main issue is, just like him, I mean, we've got a gap there where if we had two individual owners, two different individual insurance companies, and right now, if it's not built with a firewall, which there's no way for us to regulate that because there's a gap with the inspections, you know, anything triplex and bigger, right, Eddie, they inspect because they're commercial. So that leaves the duplexes out there. You know, a single-family home should have one family in it, but a duplex may have two and two owners, and there's no way for us to regulate right now.
But, and since we're talking about it a little bit, when you have two owners or multiple owners, doesn't that lean toward a condominium type concept?
Well, there's problems.
Style of ownership.
That's a style of ownership.
And that's where each person owns their unit, they own a portion of the land held in common. Whether it's not indivisible as a rule, but they own a portion of what's held in common.
When I hear multiple owners, I think condominium design versus a duplex where you've got two separate owners in a duplex, because I'm not interested in at this point, and in the near future, and maybe the distant future, getting into building codes.
I'm not. I don't have any interest in that whatsoever.
I'm not either, but we're seeing a
lot. Yeah, and that's not what I'm suggesting. What I'm suggesting is that we've got a gap there, and the issue is, yeah, we can do it with condominium style of ownership, but at least if I remember right what Mr. Styron's issue was when he came and talked to us, one of them was that exact thing. He understood we could do it under condominium style of ownership, but through financing and lots of other things, when those folks are trying to finance that, they won't finance them that way because they don't own the property that right. the house sits on.
Right.
So that is part of the issues, and he has a valid issue, in my opinion. But right now, I certainly wouldn't feel comfortable approving duplexes, and I'm not saying we should have building codes, but right. what I am saying is that's an issue. I wouldn't want my daughter moving out there into a place that somebody has built a duplex and not knowing that the fire could go right, and it's not protected. I mean, I don't think any of us would,
right?
You know, on that stand. But anyway, I just wanted to make sure you all knew that. Thanks.
Thanks, John. So the commission, go ahead.
John, were you on the appointed board to try to help with this situation? I know Frank was. I never did know who the members were.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay, it's you and Frank and Eddie, and who all worked on that?
Bob Hanselin from the Board of Adjustment.
Bob Hanselin.
Frank, Sean, Mike. Aegis Engineering, of course, was there. Myself.
I think any of us were.
Everybody was invited, but those individuals specifically were talked to and made the commitment to be there.
Well, where I'm going with this is the people that were appointed or down the row from. This was sent to Planning and Zoning, then had a board to address it. Nobody could come up with anything, but as I see it, those discussions that we have that have already been covered and no resolution brought forth, it's important that you speak to what you covered. You understand what I'm saying? And I know if Eddie was there, he can do that, but just like you come forward this morning and talked about certain things, I think it's important that we know that the Taney County Commission is not sitting up here covering things that have been talked about for 2 or 3 hours and no resolution come to, and or you don't feel like could be come to, because if you're talking about 9-person opinion and you drop it down to 3 or 4 and now it's before the Taney County Commission to try to figure it out, and we have hired an engineer to do part of the work on this thing, so it makes it very difficult for 3 commissioners to sit here, and we don't know what the total discussion has been on trying to resolve these issues, and there may be legal issues along with it. My personal opinion is we've got a 113-page document, I believe is what Eddie told us last week, that exists in the now existing code. We've got 92 pages that are either added to, taken away, so on and so forth. Whether you're taking amended parts out and adding new parts or whatever, you're still going to end up with a rather lengthy code book. And I don't feel great about that if it's taken 3 precise committees, if you want to call them that, to try to make a decision on something. And so to move the process along and not go into a 2-hour discussion that we ended last week, Mr. Strophis admittedly didn't know whether we had agreed on 2 acres or not. We never did take a vote on it, but that's kind of where we left it. So we spent 2 hours discussing one issue that you guys, I'm sure, covered hours worth of talk about.
That's about as far as we got, actually.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm pretty whole concerned about the amount of time that's going to be put in on this from individuals that we place on boards and then the county commission making a decision on it.
Clarify what you're saying, Danny. you said you're concerned about the amount of time we're going to put in.
I'm concerned about the amount of time we're putting in with no results. That's what I'm saying. We put in 2 hours last week and had no results whatsoever.
Okay, you got a different plan? Got a different idea?
No, that's the reason I'm addressing it.
I think as soon as we move off of this agricultural, I think a lot of them move forward. And again, I'll remind you that a lot of our code book will tie into like this residential and stuff like that. It won't necessarily be an increase in pages or anything like that. There will be an increase in pages, of course, as we set up a district and try to define that district. But some of its rules and regulations come from what already exists. I think it's important that we just make the decision to pull the trigger on this is where we're going to go, and if we need to change it, we change it. We add to it, we take away from it in the future as it would be necessary. What most of the people got hung up on as we were going, everybody's got a different example or why this will work or why this won't work or something to that effect. At one time, I think we were up to three or four different agricultural districts. It just depends on the person's background and what they're looking at and that sort of thing there. But again, I've been admonished by several different people that are in the working for different counties that probably the best thing is to keep it as simple to meet our needs as possible, and then go from there.
But I'm going to ask you a question, Eddie. How long have you worked for the county?
I will be 5 years in January.
Okay. How long has Danny Strahan asked for a couple of things to be changed in the code book, and how long has it taken for those to even be taken under consideration and changed? So when you say put it in there and take it out, that doesn't stick with me, and I'm not criticizing for it. I'm just saying that if there's issues that need to be taken out, they're one heck of a lot harder to take out than they are to be established.
That is exactly
and,
true.
And I
know to what you're referring. And
those are simple issues.
Unfortunately, the one issue, there was some dialogue on it at one time. There was a change in administration. Where that went, I do not know. There's been different people look at it. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but Mr. Paulson's had this, and he's written dialogue on this one issue several times. We just haven't, like you say, it hasn't been changed. Definitely a need.
How about, because I'm not sure what you're talking about, and a lot of folks here probably don't either. What are the issues you're speaking to that haven't been addressed?
That hadn't been addressed? Well, one of them was the breaking of down into subdivisions, the fact that you couldn't give your son or your daughter a piece of ground that you had owned and paid taxes on for years without subdividing your property. That was one of the issues, and we had lengthy discussions about it and about the road easements that would pertain in the entrance roads being connected to county roads or other roads. That's just one of the simple issues that we talked about and discussed, and there wasn't any change about it. We all seemed to be in agreement that we thought it was crazy that we had a person build a house on acreage that he had owned for years and had to subdivide his property because there was another piece of property that he donated to a cemetery. So he subdivided his property, and we go to the eastern part of the county, and we have place after place after place that are subdivisions that are nothing but farms. And just because a person pays taxes and lives there and does his and decides that he wants to give his son or his daughter a place to live, then the county commission and planning and zoning has the right to make him go in and survey and subdivide his property. There's nothing right about it. Don't care how you look at it. Now, you could live in a single family residence or a condo or whatever. You might think it's all right. But the man that's out there and owns the property and paid the taxes on it, it's not all right with him, and it's not all right with me.
Yes, sir.
Frank Preston, Cheney County Road and Bridge. We had a lot of discussion on that, Mr. Strahan, and I think anyone correct me if I'm wrong, where we got stuck, and we agree we want that to happen, and it's a tradition, and family farms are great, but what happens when there's a divorce in the family, or their son decides to move, and then we have different ownerships that are not different owners that don't belong to that core family is where we got stuck. And then the other issue you spoke about, I think we met two, possibly three times as a subcommittee, and we spent 6 hours haggling over one or two districts, and we couldn't come to a consensus. So we have most of our time was talk. We spent on the different zones, okay. Agricultural, commercial, residential. Very frustrating.
All right. Danny, you brought up this issue again, and you started out by saying that we worked 2 hours last week and never got anything done. How are we going to do this? I mean, I think we did accomplish something a little different than you last week. It took a long time there, but we came to 2 acres. And we didn't have a vote, so maybe we ought to have a vote right now.
Well, you asked me to give you this document here, which specifies 2 acres. You wanted some conditional and permitted uses in there. I'd suggest that you peruse that. You may want some changes. Mr. Pingleton has suggested that we take out the 2 acres and put in minimum lot size as defined in the code book. I couldn't quote you the section on that. I mean, I've got the pages before you. And everything, but that there may be a section that comes up to where that's all confined in one section. But
all right, how about we focus on doing that right now? Let's focus on changing the 2 acres to minimum lot, and we've got the document in front of us. Let's see if we're comfortable with the permitted and the conditional uses.
Well, and that's what if I can, Mr. Chairman, speak. I don't know if we want to do that right now, because if it's a conditional use, we're going to say, let's hypothetically say that an animal training facility, it says conditional use, but we may argue that it's a commercial operation, okay?
Sure.
If we argue it's a commercial operation, where do we stick it with? We don't know where that goes unless we've created the columns of the commercial and the industrial. It's almost like we need, before we start getting so into the weeds of where each use is, we've got to at least determine the categories in which we're going to operate in. Because I have a feeling that we could argue, this is going to take a long time, and it's just going to take time. But my concern is we'll get to one that we may get a consensus that it doesn't belong in agriculture, and we don't know where to put it. That's why I almost want to think about not doing the permitted versus conditional, but agreed that agriculture is 2 acres or however we want to reword it to take into the consideration of the comment, and then go on to the next category before we start getting into uses. That's my opinion.
Okay.
As we spoke last week, again, we got into that a little bit, and that was asked for. I think it helped kind of clarify some things. And I think you are going to run into issues where out in an agricultural area, there are some uses that may be commercial, but that's the area that you'd rather have them in. You would rather have your animal processing plant out in more of a rural area than sitting beside Chili's.
Or would it go into industrial?
And that may be the case. I'm just saying, so that's why you see this split up like this. Some of these things right now we would look at and say that's commercial. But animal boarding, animal training, that kind of thing like that, you would expect to see more out in an agricultural area as opposed to an office district or something like that. And that's why they're down there as conditional. It can be reviewed in this area.
I'm not going to get personal with this part of it. It's just a simple question, though. But how do you feel, Chuck, about your situation where you built a home on 5 acres that was gifted to your wife or whatever? Was that property in itself, was that 40 acres that was there, whatever the amount was it subdivided because that acreage was gifted to you?
I bought it, purchased it from my mother-in-law. And there was a split done. I mean, there was a survey, and
Was it subdivided? I mean, and a subdivided established name to it? Or?
There was less than 40 acres. Got my brain working here. There was less than 40 acres, and she sold 5 acres to me, and she sold 30-some acres to my wife's cousin.
Right.
So you're,
now, state statute does say that if you 40 acres and under, or under 40 acres, that you do have to have it surveyed. State statute.
You've got to comply with state statute.
Yeah. Does it have to go into mini sub?
According to our code book, yes, sir.
Okay. That's where, see, that's what I want to get into. I just want to actually make sure that everybody is treated the same and everybody's treated fairly and that we establish something that is common sense.
But here's the problem. You can have a farm and divide off 2 acres, and you can't treat the guy whose son wants 2 acres different than somebody else who owns 40 acres who wants to divide off 2 acres. And then instead of having a major subdivision, you can now have 22-acre lots split off of a 40-acre lot if you allow that, and a developer's never going to do a major subdivision. They're just going to come in 2 acres at a time. And there's just no way to do that.
The minor subdivision, and I'm not – how it works is fine. I'm not locked into what we do. I am right now. I'm locked into what it says. But what it does is it allows a person to split property. Of course, sometimes people want to split it more afterwards, but it allows a person to split property and then fall into another portion of our code book. If you want to split your 40 acres into 6 lots, we can do that without you having to go through the whole process to change everything.
Right.
But once you've done that, that's your basically, for lack of a better word, your one free split. It's not free because, you know, you have to have a survey and there's cost involved and everything like that. But once you've done that, then any further splitting of those properties, you may have something that you split into 40-acre tracts, 6 40-acre tracts.
Mm-hmm.
Then a person buys that and they want to split it. Then they're part of a subdivision and they're increasing density, so then they have a process they go through. Basically, to prevent, I believe, what or to make sure that, you know, what's going on is in accordance with the county's rules and regulations as far as, you know, creating subdivisions and everything.
Right.
And that's what takes care of what Bob has said. You know, once the one split's done, and I would agree with Bob that whatever we set up, we can't set it up for family. We can set it up for the county. But we can't treat you different because you're family. Because if I treat you this way and then, like Bob says, I have a divorce or something like that, well, you know, I was family, now I'm not. So mm-hmm. Do I have to have a different set of rules to live by?
Right.
So
I the thing of it is we had, and I'm going to get off of, because I never get an answer about whether Chuck had a name subdivision. I'm going to get off of that. But what I am going to get on
is... Wait a minute. Hold the phone. Would you just explain, Eddie, because I didn't do a good job.
What happens is, in Taney County, unfortunately, as you remember, a year ago, we came before you because there is a huge loophole in Taney County, depending on your position, I suppose. The recorder will record whatever you bring in. If a person wants to create a one-acre lot on a survey, even though it's against our code right now, he can create a one-acre lot. He can sell it off on simply a warranty deed, a survey, or whatever he wants to do there. It will be recorded. It will be platted. And he will come in and apply for a permit.
But please explain. Danny says, I'm not going to get personal, but Chuck this. Would you please explain the issue where my mother-in-law sold the 2 pieces of property? Did we do it legal?
I would have to go pull the records and everything, but if you ask us about it, our advice to you would have been you need to have a survey, you need to make a minor subdivision out of it, you need to call it something, and it needs to come out. I don't know. I can't remember.
And that's,
we do a lot
of those. That's the reason I was getting away from what I just said there. I knew that he had started to take it personal, so I wanted to get away to Mr. Jewsbury, who lived at Mincy. Mr. Jewsbury had given part of his property to a cemetery. Okay, as he made the survey on that, and then he decided later that he'd owned the property for years, he decided he'd build him a house. So he'd already took and split part of his property off to give it to a cemetery. So then he had to make a subdivision out of his property before he could build his home on it. Because you'd already made the one split. That's your argument.
Well, again, Mr.
And it's named.
Okay, let me ask you a couple questions here because I think we're confusing a couple different things. When he split off the cemetery, did he create a minor subdivision then?
No.
Okay. So when he got ready to his house, he created a minor subdivision then.
He had to create a minor subdivision on a 40-acre
tract. That's no different than we would do anybody else. But he did not create the minor subdivision.
But he had to name it.
Sure.
Sure, he had to name it.
Sure.
Okay.
Because that's the only way that the recorder can index it.
Yeah.
But he did not create the minor sub when he split the cemetery off.
I didn't know. You said there was one split.
Right. And so he got his one split, basically. Uh-huh.
But then whenever he decided to build his house on his own property.
If he'd want to build his house on his own property and leave it that one big lot that he already had, now, there may be extenuating circumstances there. Did he have other homes on that property already?
No.
Then he did not have to make a split.
Well, he did, and he had to name it. And that was heated controversy in the community, the whole entire Mincy community, because of the way that our planning and zoning.
I think there's something amiss there. I don't remember that. I have to go check it out and everything. But if he split off a cemetery lot and he's got a piece of property there that is vacant with nothing on, he wants to build a house on it. He didn't have to create a minor sub to do that.
Well, it's
he had to through my office.
Now, if there was other homes on there already and he was going to exceed the limit.
Nope. No,
yeah, but I'll have to go back and pull it up. But I, you know, in that situation, no, sir, he should not.
I just want to make sure everybody's treated fairly.
And that's exactly what I'm trying to do because you know we don't want to.
And so the whole you have a whole entire community that knows Mr. Jewsbury.
Yeah.
And I'm using his name, and I probably shouldn't have. I should have asked him, but he was so furious. I'm sure that he don't care that I use his name in this. And as we go to the east. And I just want to use this because it's more agricultural to the east. And these families that do these very same things that we're talking about, and they have to name a subdivision and pay for surveying of at least a mini-sub on that property of 6 acres lots or portions or whatever you want to call it or less, then it's very disturbing to people. That's the reason you have a hard time getting support for the P&Z in those areas, and I think anybody can understand that.
I do know when you go into parts of the county, the more rural you get, the people are used to selling their property on a handshake and a warranty deed, and I do know that we find a tremendous amount of landlocked properties in that case because nobody's reviewed it or looked at it or anything like that. Mm. So there's changes that can be made, is what I'm saying, and everything, but in the last 6 months, we had an individual on the eastern side of the county that bought a piece of property from an individual who wrote him a legal description, who got it recorded, who came in and then applied for a permit. And as we did our research, the piece of property that he had bought that he thought was adjacent to his property was in fact landlocked. It was not the property he was fixing to build on. He'd bought a piece of property. He had a legal description for it, but he didn't know where it was or anything like that.
Yeah.
That was but both the seller and the buyer thought they knew what they had done. But that's not what they've done.
Now, I'm going to go back to where I initially started and how this conversation all got started. And we take something as simple as taking a lot from somebody's property that owns 40 acres, 20 acres, 100 acres, 1,000 acres, and you take something as simple as that, and we can't come up with an answer that is satisfactory to get past. I don't want to stick things into this code book that we say we're going to take out because it doesn't work, because it does not get taken out.
Again, why I'm saying let's keep it as minimal as possible. However, you have gone through the process,
right.
Mr. James Strahan. We of course, I was new at the county at that particular time, but we took you through the exact same process, and I believe treated you like I would treat anybody else that I know of.
And
you complied.
And we went above and beyond compliance.
Yes, sir. You did it, and you did everything
in a timely
manner.
So everybody, there could not ever be any questions
Correct.
Asked.
Right.
There was above and beyond, and that's what we wanted to do because we didn't want this to come back and try to be some kind of a bite on us.
Sure.
So we went above and beyond what it was required. Even on the roads and the access and the easements and utility easements and the whole shooting match.
Right.
We done it right.
I know.
But not everybody's going to do it right.
I agree. Not everybody's even going to pay any attention to the code book.
Right. So that's the reason, gentlemen, I don't want to stick a code book down here and say we're going to take things out of it. because it will not work. It will not be taken out.
It's not an easy process.
No.
James?
Of course, you know my feelings. And I'm still really confused that you gentlemen don't have to totally disperse the Planning Commission's original master plan to create any document that you're trying to create at this point, because at one time I read it, it may have been removed without my knowledge. Agriculture was exempt from all planning and zoning in Taney County, and that statement is in the master plan. So to sit here and say we're going to start changing things on agriculture, the first thing I believe you would have to do, Mr. Paulson ain't here, is disperse of the master plan. That master plan has been adopted by Taney County and created by Taney County.
You're talking about the 99 master plan, or what are you
whatever
talking
about? Whatever the last master
that
plan
is,
was.
That is the last day, yes, sir.
But there's nothing been ratified or approved. So once we get to that point, then I can see that happening. But right now we're in discussions about going forward so that we can be legal to stay out of the Stone County. We're not doing this to get everyone's feathers in a ruffle here. We're doing this strictly to be legal so that we don't have a situation like Stone County experienced.
I understand. Okay. I understand what you're trying to do.
Okay.
But Eddie and I had a real good conversation yesterday, and just time and time again, we could see problems. We got subdivisions out south of town that lays on 60 acres that they come in and they doze their roads. They've got their utility in. Eddie said we was going to zone this area agricultural. He said, what did you do with that, James, at the assessment process? We have to zone. We have to appraise their improvements as residential. And he said, well, then the ground's agriculture. And I said, no, not in this particular case. There's no obvious agriculture out there. The destruction of the trees and everything that could be declared agricultural, I might call that subdivision residential. So then we referred to...
Now, on that particular one, no plat has been filed. It's one big piece of property, but there is no hay or anything going on out there.
Right.
But once again,
and no lots have been sold.
Once again, all we're trying to do is establish some districts so that we can then do existing use. And that's when we're going to need your intimate help in... We're not trying to cause any problems with any landowner. All we're trying to do is create some districts that will keep us legal from keeping us out of the court, and then say what is it currently being used, which is existing land use, and then overlay whatever we call it to what it's being used. So if it's agriculture, it's still going to remain agricultural. That's all we're trying to do is establish some districts, and that's. I understand, and I believe, Danny, we have some code. We have some loopholes in the duplex code. We have loopholes a lot of places because the code's been basically pieced together over all these years. And what we have an opportunity to do is create districts, create a clean code. I hope we address that because that is a concern of mine, too. I mean, when you brought it up last year, when we brought about it, but the problem is, what happens two generations from now when there's 40 acres and everyone subdivides the 2-acre lots? We have a subdivision that could be, some lots could be landlocked. So we've got to take it from a perspective of, let's create a clean code book, but let's also just overlay the districts with existing land uses. We're not trying to rezone the whole county. I don't know if that's coming across. Is that...
It's coming across that way, Jim. And now let me get my other example out of the way here, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Round Mountain.
Uh-huh.
Agricultural. The entire thing.
Okay.
But we've got a company that come in with land disturbance permit, built roads, laid utility, laid everything in there. Eddie asked me what we would do there. I said we put the roads and all improvements as residential.
Okay.
And I said the other one could be residential. This one is agriculture. It's got one of the finest growth of timber on it that could ever be and will be harvested. Okay. So that land use will be totally different to what this other one with these land use permits has accomplished. And when you zone this county, that will zone as a photo as agricultural. And all they got to do is build a bridge and lay their plat to this county and it's residential. So you're getting into some area... And other things I picked up from this conversation, if you want to zone this county, but don't be messing with your regs that you've already got in place. In the Kirbyville area, we have sewer and water available right through the middle of hay fields. Mm-hmm. Planning and zoning says you can build on 8,000 square foot if you've got county sewer and water. So the farmer naturally will want to take as small a piece out of his hay field as he can legally get by with, not 2 acres out of his 5-acre hay field. He has county sewer and water there, never disturbed the environment. Why can't he put it on 8,000 feet? Why can't he put it on this small little corner portion that joins the highway? He has no easement problems. It joins the highway. There's no reg in planning and zoning to take care of situations like this.
James, but that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to fix those problems.
I know it's going to be zoned agriculture, Jim.
Okay, but what I'm saying is we can't get to that until we even get the first step done.
I know.
Okay, I mean, I understand bringing up all these problems, but we'll never get anything accomplished, and we'll have two-hour meetings until we all die very, very old and get nothing. But we're going to have two-hour meetings and hash this out. I'd sure like to get something more accomplished than point. I understand the problems, and I probably could bring up some problems too. I've gone through the planning and zoning process myself. Yeah. So I have issues, but I can't bring those up right now until we start where we are, which is we've got to create some districts. Then we're going to have a debate about that specific issue, and we'll have a debate about, you know, subdividing a family plot. We have to, but we can't get to that until we at least get something established.
Well, I think that's where you've been a little misguided, Mr. Strothis, because these issues are coming up for you to confirm when you say in your mind that's not what you're wanting to do. And we're getting, and Mr. Pennell has said, let's vote on it now. Let's vote on these changes now. When these changes are in what you're fixing to do, set your zones so the state and Mr. Styron and everybody in Stone County can be, yeah, we've got zones. We could have 5 zones in Taney County. Mm-hmm. Current use has nothing to do with it. Current use has nothing to do with these zones. We've set them up some zones that you can look at. Don't set up a zone where an owner of a property is deterred in selling his property. Any deterrent whatsoever to the value of his property does not exist in our planning and zoning. He has to abide by what's currently in use. But all of a sudden, we're getting some problems resolved with this new zoning districts. And we're not getting zoning districts established. So that's my issue. DNR says 1.5 acres. You can put any sewer on it in the world if it passes. That's state law.
Sure.
But we in these counties go 2, 3, 5. And in Christian County's different, Stone County's different, and we're at 2. DNR come down, and they'll approve 1.5.
If it perks.
If it perks.
Right.
So the numbers that goes in there, don't leave them blank. Don't leave them blank. That's a political board's decision. All from urban will put the number in they want. If there's a representative from rural enough, they'll put the number in they want. So don't leave a blank number. Because like you say, it's hard to change. 40-foot easements. Voted on, adopted by this county commission. You wasn't here. Never been put in the regs. It's still 50-foot. But in the regs, we got 10-foot easement lines that has to be around the lots. So you take 50, 10, and 10, you got a 70-foot easement. Jim, I'm not trying to be argumentative. I just see these things happening that we're trying to get some regs put in, with the zip, but other regs we're just going to let go.
We haven't even got to there. All you're doing is pointing out shortfalls in our current code book. We're going to have to address each issue, but we can't even get there until we get the district established. These are all good points, and we do need to make those adjustments. If we have discrepancies in a vote versus our handbook, this is the time to do it when we get to that stage. It seems like we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, though. I appreciate, and we are going to have hearings to say, what's wrong with the current code book? What issues do we need to address? But right now, we're not changing anything. We're just trying to, we're at step one, maybe 1.5.
Are you sure in this 90-some-odd pages that it's not changing things on us, Jim?
We haven't voted anything. Zoning? Nothing's changed.
That particular document is off the table. It's not even there anymore.
Right. We returned that document. We rejected the document that was submitted to us. That was done in March, April. I don't remember what
March
it was.
March or April.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so but right now all we're trying to do is establish districts.
Why don't you consider something? And I've never been to one of their meetings, but evidently this subcommittee's committee and subcommittee's document does not exist any longer because of the changes. Why don't you set up forest ag, mixed use, residential and commercial, draw you some lines, and you've zoned the area. Commercial, residential within 1 mile of all entities. And what's going on here? Why can't this be done? I don't understand. I think what's happening...
That's what today's meeting was supposed to be, was we're supposed to talk about residential today.
I know, but I think what's happening here is we're going to do that, but then we plug in, we're going to leave the amount of acreage blank. We're going to establish the amount of acreage and stuff like that. And I think we're trying to do two or three things here under the carpet when just come out on top and zone the county.
I don't think we're doing anything... I mean, I don't think we're doing anything under the carpet. I think we've got to take a logical approach to how do we have to fix the problem. We are trying to get to, we had to establish agriculture. We're not trying to rezone the county, but we've got to make some, there's got to be some definitions to each district so we know where the parcels lie. We're not trying to rezone the county. What we're trying to do is, whatever you're using it for, where does that fall? Is it primarily agriculture? Is it residential? All we're trying to do is overlay what the existing use is to our set of classifications. Not trying to say someone, you used to do agriculture, now you can't do agriculture. I'm not trying to do that. All we're trying to do is, like you said, establish some districts, residential, commercial, industrial, an overlay districts for, you know, for the western side when there's a planned development or an airport. But all we're trying to do is establish some of these districts, and I appreciate your comments, but they're a little premature yet. I mean, there'll be an opportunity.
Well, now, Jim, I've heard that from everybody in this room this morning, the same type comments I'm making on some particular duplexes. What's a duplex? We can't define it in this county. There was 15 minutes of discussion on what a duplex was.
But see, I think what the discussion should be, though, is... Are we going to have zoning districts that discuss that address duplex? Are we going to say duplexes have their own district, or are they going to be in residential? That's really where the conversation needs to be. Then we'll define how we operate within duplexes.
Because I've got split-use properties on the east end of the county in the ruralest areas of this county where somebody lives in it and stores their tractor in the other end of it, or may work on their tractor in the other end. It may be residential commercial instead of residential ag. Mm-hmm. So when you get into the duplex conversations and all this type of stuff, there's many areas to cover, and I apologize for taking up your time if that's not what you're trying to accomplish, but the entire argument before me and you started talking was particulars.
Right.
And, Jim, I'm now at the point, why can't we draw some lines and be done with our zoning and work this definition is ongoing?
It's not even about drawing lines. Right now, we're just trying to create the districts. I mean, it's not even about lines.
It's just defining current use.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten to lines yet.
We haven't got to lines yet. I mean, we're just trying to get to names.
I know, but when you draw in an agricultural use and a man's able to, and this 2 acre sell off thing, I've heard that story for a long time. That's the biggest bunch of bull in the world. First of all, you can't sell two. By Missouri law, you've got to provide easement to the property. And on the other hand, our government defies that. When you go to the tax sale to buy 40 acres tract that's up for tax sale, you buy it out of the northwest corner, collector deeds issued, and they never have to be an easement to it. So we have all these problems that the government can do these things. We can't. Eddie knows. We talked to these situations yesterday. When a tax sale, you can buy 20 acres and it comes out of the northwest corner, don't have to have an easement to it.
Doesn't already have to be a parcel?
No. 40 acre,
but it has to be a parcel.
But then somebody ends up having to fix it.
No, it's a 40 acre parcel, yeah. Bob. And when you sell it on tax sale, you bid it down by the acre, and it comes out of the northwest corner. Nothing to do with easements.
Okay, if you bid it down by the acre, since they allow that, maybe something needs to be done about that.
That's state statute.
That's state statute.
Yeah.
James, before you sit down, a quick question. You made a statement starting out that we knew where you stood. Do you want planning and zoning?
No, I'd carry a petition to get rid of it.
Okay. I think this...
I'm sorry. I'll work with you on that. We couldn't tell.
Hold on. James, I think he had one more question.
No, I just... a statement. Okay. I think the county commission needs to recognize... this sounds kind of hard. But I think the county commission needs to recognize that James does not want planning and zoning. That's clear as a bell. And so he's going to talk about us drawing lines, and he's going to bring up 40-foot and 50-foot and all these different things that keeps getting brought up over and over and over and over again to keep us from making any progress. That's my opinion. We had the 40-foot issue, and we've talked about it, and we've talked about it. The 40-foot issue is the county commission has said we're not going to take a road in for county maintenance without 40-foot, and we've been consistent on that. The 50-foot is to do with the planning and zoning.
I'll find the minutes on that.
But anyway, bottom line is I think the commission needs to recognize that, and I'd like to know, Danny, where you stand.
Well, I'd like to know, then, if you're going to start asking questions, I'd like to know if you have your subdivision named over there where you got your house built. I live in a subdivision,
sir. I think we ought to call an investigation about the purchase that I'm on, that you're talking
Dan
about.
Dan Masalik is probably listening, and Dan can probably just go ahead and run the history on that real quick. And
that would be wonderful. But so, you're avoiding my question, Danny, and that is, do you want planning and zoning in our county?
Do I want planning and zoning the way that we've established it with no removal of what we've got? We've got planning and zoning in the county. The corrections that need to be made in planning and zoning are the parts that we're trying to talk about that don't seem to get addressed. We want to talk about... agricultural, the districts that you want to lay out, but we don't want to address the real issues because we want to bypass that before. Because we've had 5 years of, as I asked Mr. Coxey, we've had 5 years to address simple problems that could go in the code book, but now we want to take a total redoing of the code book, and we cannot progress because it's too massive. That's my. The feelings about it.
But my question is, Danny, do you want planning and zoning? James gave us a straight answer. No, he doesn't want it. I'm asking you, do you want planning and zoning in the county? Have I asked a ridiculous question? James answered it.
I don't have to answer your question, Mr. Fennell, because you haven't ever said whether you want it or not. Do you want it, sir?
I believe that we have voted on it, and we have a responsibility to try our best to make it happen. We didn't. We were one vote, but the county voted on it, and I think we have a responsibility to try to make it work. And I sense, as I've already said, I sense that there's a strong effort to do anything they can to keep it from working.
Well, I'm going to comment on that. I'm not going to do anything I can to keep it from working because I know that it's being sent down right now from the federal government, and it's been proposed that you get a permit before you sell your house, that it's been totally inspected and towed over somebody. Some of these rules and regulations are ridiculous and invades the independence of America and the privacy of America. Social and I want to have planning and zoning. Or I wouldn't have put our subdivision in according to code.
Wait a minute. You want to have planning and zoning now?
Do what?
You just said you want to have planning and zoning?
No.
You don't want planning and zoning?
I want a planning and zoning that works.
So you do want planning and zoning if it works?
You bet.
Okay.
And it does not invade the people's lives.
Okay.
But this code right here and the way we're doing it, I would carry a petition to get rid of it. I would absolutely, first of all, not on a personal basis. You guys are starting to infringe upon the assessment process because, and here's the simple thing, it is for developmental purposes, future purposes, what is the value of these properties? What are these values? Eddie, what are the values of property in a floodplain? Brought up before this county commission Monday. What are the values now versus before we adopted FEMA? What are the cash markets now versus before we adopted FEMA? So whenever you see my disgust with some of these things, it's not just James Strahan personally. The assessor's office has to deal with this. And the assessor's office, well, I can't sell another acre off my land because I've abided by planning and zoning rule. What's that make your land worth, sir? And that's the part that I get into, and it's not just personal, Chuck. And I shouldn't have answered your question because as this, I don't have that necessity to have to answer your questions. But that's the way I feel about what we have, and that's the way I feel about our future. If we can come up with something that is good for all, away from socialism, I brought that definition because I knew nobody else would. I want to read it. I think I'm going to take this time to read it. A theory of or system of social organization that advocate vesting of the ownership and the control of the means of production and distribution of capital, land, etc. in the community as a whole. And I'll work away from that as long as I'm alive.
James.
And that's what my dictionary says. I'd be bringing it.
I'm sorry, but I do not know whether you want planning and zoning in our county or whether you don't.
I don't think I'll ever tell you. I think I'll let you get.
Okay. Where would this county commission like to move from here?
I'd like to move back to the districts, which is how we started the meeting today, talking about R1, R3, and R5. I'd like feedback to see if those districts, as simplified definition, but not as the details, but in categories, because we'll have to spend time in defining each category. But when I met with Eddie one-on-one, I believe that's the three districts we had established, because that was existing use-wise. That's where it seemed like everyone was falling into. We've got some old subdivisions that have some small lot spaces were RV parks or manufactured home lots and all that. So I just want to kind of go through and basically try to establish that we're going to operate or move forward with the three districts. Now, we could start as we define this and may realize that we don't need 1, 3, and 5, but we may just need 1 and 5 or 1 and 3. But for discussion purposes, like we're going to have one agricultural district, which we're calling A1, I'd like to propose that we have an R1, an R3, and an R5. R1, just as it's been defined, like I said, Eddie and I have spent many hours together going through my reasoning. And anyway, that's where I'd like to move forward, is to get some sort of majority consent that we're going to work on three districts in the residential world and go to the commercial world.
Okay. Comments, questions?
Eddie?
No, I'm fine. I think we can cover most everything that we need to under those topics. And again, as per our code book right now, we address, when we get into multifamily, we address duplexes already, because they don't fall into that. But then everything else is held as a condominium style of ownership when we get into multifamily housing and everything. So, and we have a section in our code book now on manufactured homes and on RV home parks, that kind of thing like that.
So this is not much different than what we've already established in our code book.
Yes, sir. I mean, we're going to have to, there's a few items in there you're going to have to look at probably, but currently any type of threeplex or bigger falls under condominium style of ownership with the land held in common. I suppose there's a way that you could change that if you chose to.
So you're talking about putting those in one of the residential districts, allowing those, or like trailer trailer parks as special uses within one of the categories. I mean, you could do that too.
Right.
Because you don't necessarily want to allow that everywhere, but...
Right. We have a section in our code book now for setting up mobile home parks and setting up RV parks, and that would become a district.
But are we talking about it because we want to have a district where it's absolutely allowed as a specific... if you're in this kind of residential district, you can start a mobile home park, or do you want to have it as a special use situation within the district where you have to come in and get a special use permit in order to do it within that district?
I think the conversation that we had had, or not with you and I, Bob, but we have some of those established already currently. And the concern was, I don't want to create a district that we've changed what we've already done in the past. You know, so if we do away with the RV park, do we make that a special use permit? I guess is that your question?
You're going to have some imperfections somewhere. There's something that is going to be missed when you do this code.
Yes.
And you're going to have a non-conforming use that's in a district that you missed and didn't make it a conforming use in that district. So you would handle that much the way it was handled with this code, that any prior non-conforming uses that do not conform with this code will be considered a prior non-conforming use and will be a legal use under this code. You would put that kind of catch-all in there.
Okay. What I see happening for the future, though, Bob, if you wanted to build an RV park, you would do like you do now. You would come in and say, I have this piece of ground here. I would like it now zoned R5. We would, you know, get that permitted, and then once it's zoned R5, then we already have the rules and regulations in place, unless they want to be changed at all. But
if you have that as an absolute right to put in a mobile home in a certain type of residential district, obviously you would try to put all the currently existing mobile homes within an R5 or whatever you
exactly
want to call
so.
A district.
And if they redid that mobile home, then that park, if they took everything out of it, they could put another one back there, of course. But what I'm saying is, if you had a piece of R1 land and you wanted to make a mobile home park, you'd, of course, do your...
But just because there's a mobile home park there, I made a statement a minute ago, you would make it R5, but maybe it isn't a good area for a mobile home park. So why would you make it an R5? You could make it an R1, and then when it was no longer prior non-conforming use, you wouldn't be able to put mobile homes back in there.
And
so there's that consideration
as
well.
That will have to be looked at.
And once the districts are established, I'm hoping that we're going to have a map that we can see controversial parcels, and then we can start talking about that, you know, if there's a non-conforming use in an area, so that we can see how they're using it and how we should zone it.
I mean, you may want to make
this is not a perfect science, unfortunately. Right.
I mean, what will happen is these parcels will be identified according to your definition. If I go out and I see several mobile homes sitting here, and I would consider this, this must be a mobile home park. But then I look down through the rules and regulations. Have they done this and this and this and this, I suppose? And then you make that determination, does it stay a mobile home park, or does it not, because of where it's sitting, now it's a mobile home park until it goes away.
Let me give you an outrageous example. If you had a gentleman's club next to a residential neighborhood, all right? Obviously, you don't want gentlemen's clubs next to residential neighborhoods. Now, you wouldn't zone it so that they could put another one in if they stopped using that one. You would obviously zone it so it has to be down in an industrial area if they're going to have it. And that would be a prior non-conforming use. And when they get through using it as that, they would no longer be, once it was stopped being used as that, they wouldn't be able to put it back there next to the residential neighborhood where you don't want it. So that'd be a good example of something that you should have as a prior non-conforming use rather than just doing an existing use situation.
I see what you're saying.
But, yes, do we need the district?
We still need the district, yes, because we're not saying we don't want RV.
How it's applied, that's further down the road.
Right.
I think in Taney County you can go out and say this is an RV.
I don't want to restrict someone from putting an RV park in if it's the right place and they're...
James, please come to Mike.
I'm just going to say one word, Yogi Bear. I'm doing nothing on the assessment process.
Right.
We've got RVs that turn into mobile homes.
Right.
That turn into house lots.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a nightmare for you. It's been a nightmare for planning and zoning. It has not been handled appropriately. through the years, through planning and zoning, it's an example of why we need good planning and zoning rules and stick to them.
Well, what I'm concerned about is your non-conforming use. When that RV leaves there, does another person have the right to back it in there and use it as an RV lot or a residential lot?
I think we're going to have to address that when we get to that stage. I think we're going to have to.
Well, and you're going to have to apply your zone districts. You're going to come up with problem districts or problem areas to zone.
And we'll have to address
and you're also going to have to address how you want to handle nonconforming.
Right.
You know, pre-existing
right.
nonconforming. And right now, that's just not addressed.
I know, and that's why I'm here, guys. I may be argumentative on a lot of this stuff, but I see it on a daily basis the same as planning and zoning.
We understand the problems in Yogi Bear, believe me.
Well, and originally this started out as an RV park, but you have people building single-family homes in there.
All right.
They probably never should have started issuing permits for single-family homes.
Non-conforming, you're going to have to, when you define it?
A prior non-conforming use is just a use that is not allowed in that district that was being used for that at the time that you put the rules in effect. So it was prior to the rule, and it was non-conforming to the rule. So if they tried to put it in now, they wouldn't be able to.
So that does away with nightly rental condos?
I don't understand.
No, because
they're residential now. Okay, they'll go under, and if they go commercial, or is it commercial?
We haven't residential? Got to there yet.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm
no,
just.
We, I mean,
but that is a consideration that has
on
to be non,
made. On how you write non-conforming, if it has the right to change from commercial to residential by the signature.
If it was okay to do it before the rules,
okay.
And the rules have passed and makes it not okay, then you can continue to utilize the property for that use as long as you continue with that use. And once you stop with that use or the building's no longer there, then you can no longer do that. It's grandfathered. It's prior nonconforming. But prior nonconforming doesn't mean you get to use it forever. But if you continue to use it for that, you can continue to use it for that.
Okay. I took 3 motels off of commercial because they went to residential this year.
Okay.
But if they're using it for residential, that's an interruption in the use. Okay.
It passed all codes at Branson, and they did it.
But I'm saying if a motel is used as a motel, and then they stop using it as a motel, and now it's a residence, and it stays as a residence for 5 years, they can't then come back and use it as a motel because it was a prior nonconforming use. But once you stop using it for that, basically it's to prevent a taking. Okay.
Well, and again, we're chasing, you know, these little things that need to be fixed at the right time.
I'm just writing it down when we get to it.
Motels are probably in the area zone commercial.
Right.
But in most zoning, if I'm in a commercial area, I can have residential.
In most commercial, you can have residential unless it specifically prohibits it. So you could take a piece of commercial property and use it as a house. You could use it as a farm. You could be in a commercial area and be assessed at 12% agricultural.
Right.
Okay. You could be assessed residential and still be in commercial, but you could do a commercial use and end up getting, you know, the 32%. So it really doesn't matter going up. It's going down that it matters. Yeah. Okay,
you got commercial to rent.
Not saying it doesn't happen.
I would like to.
I'm just got for instances, and maybe I shouldn't say these things.
Oh, you're fine. I'm writing them down. This is good stuff, Mr. Press.
I don't mean to offend anyone. Everyone in here has valid comments and strong feelings about what they're talking about. When we started this project with Aegis, I think the impetus for all of this was Stone County. We didn't want to get ourselves in the firing line as they were. We set up a protocol, a game plan, a system of how we were going to move forward with that. And the initial thing, to my understanding, was one of the initial things was to set up the districts. All of the things that we're talking about, I think, really do need to be talked about, and they're all valid. But this is, to me, we're like surfing the internet. When I surf the internet and I'm going on the internet looking for a particular thing, but boy, in about a half an hour, I've seen 4 different things I didn't even have an interest in that night, but they truly had some interest to me. So I think we had a game plan. I think we need to stick to the game plan, unless we need to modify the game plan, but it seemed like it was something that was accepted by all across the board. So I'm not downplaying anything that anybody is saying, but, and this is how our subcommittee meetings went, is we would get off track from with our primary focus. Our primary focus was, can we come up with some districts, and then what are the definitions of those districts? So
focus on defining the districts.
Right. So I say let's stick to the game plan, and we're not pushing any of these things under the rug. We're certainly not trying to pull the wool over anyone's eyes. We're trying to move forward in a logical way, and there has to become a point in time where all of these things, non-conforming nightly rentals, how many times can you split a family farm up, all of those things are things that need to be addressed. But unless we follow a game plan, we're going to continue to do this for hours and hours and hours.
I'd like to say just one little comment there from Frank, what you said, and appreciate everybody that's got their own opinions about working on things. But for every positive thing that you can find about planning and zoning, I can name you negative things that have taken place. For every one that you can take, we have a city of Branson that operates under planning and zoning. We have a city of Hollister that operates under planning and zoning. And I can go in and rip their P&Z program apart with things they've done, political things that they've done. I've seen on both sides. So it's very difficult to come up with the rules and regulations that suit everybody when you see abuses by different, whoever's sitting in the chairs at that time. And so, like I said, it's no easy process because you always see positives and negatives to the things. And when you see positive situations that are conflicted by negative laws, which I can give you a fine example, the hospital situation at Branson, where it didn't enter their master code to let the two ladies that owned the property that they wanted to take from them and have the county build a road up through there. But they didn't want to give them entrance to their property because it didn't fit their master plan. Now, if that's not a bunch of crap, then what is? So everything that you look at positive that everybody that supports planning, and Bob and I have had many heated discussions over this, every time you show me something positive, I can show you something negative that negatively affects our citizens.
And you can do that with just about any topic you'd like to take, I think, because, you know, as things have come up and been stated, I think of other examples to the contrary. I believe it's in our office that the goal is to make sure that everybody's treated fairly. However, you don't always get the same black and white picture on every issue. Now, Mr. Preston has stray hands. I would guess Chuck Pennell, I know Mr. Stroffus have all been before our office and gone through some of our procedures. And I believe we tried to be to apply this code book fairly. Of course, as you have changes in administration, sometimes they interpret things differently. And it's been our goal to get rid of the gray areas where there's interpretation so that it's not done that way. One good thing for me is I wasn't born and raised in Taney County. And so I don't know who's who, and I don't know who's friends with who or anything like that or how long somebody's been here. So I go out in the field, people drop a name on me, and I say, nope, don't know them. And sometimes they're taken aback by that, but because people will try to use whatever influence they can to achieve the goal that they have before them. I've admonished my staff, and it's been my practice as best we can to treat everybody the same and as equal as possible. Now, again, there's always little quirks that come in, and we have to take those into consideration. And gentlemen, you know how many times people have run to your office because they haven't got the decision they wanted from my office. And some high-profile people have done that, and even some people are just the average Joe like I am. But I think for the biggest part, they came to you with the same complaint. He's wanting me to do this. And everything, and that's not necessarily the way they want to go about it. So, now we're not perfect. I'll tell you, we're not perfect, but we try to be consistent about it.
I'd like to bring up another category, just because there's been some discussions I've had. You can wait. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask about, I was going to try to get us back on tax task, but I did have one question about the residential stuff, since that's what we're here to talk about today.
And what I was going to talk about is I've been asked and been approached, I think there was an article written about us starting this process, and I've been approached by multiple citizens and real estate people saying, would you please try to address the nightly rental in the residential subdivisions? I was given some code books from other states that are very, very radical, but it appeared that some areas actually go through a zoning change request if you're in a residential neighborhood and you want to change the use from your single family to basically a commercial operation. And it doesn't change anything except puts possibly some other restrictions in there, such as adequate parking and things. Not a lot of changes.
Sometimes your fire district.
But what it does, it's a process in which the neighborhood gets a chance to see the use gets changed.
It's currently required under our code.
We do it under special use permit. Yes, sir. And we do have a section of the code book on that.
It doesn't mean that people don't violate the rules.
Well, and they do. But my question really comes down to is, should that be a separate zoning district, or should we just maintain it? And what I don't want to do is get too many so many districts that it becomes 200 districts that we have to the P&Z board has to manage through. I just want to make sure we addressed it in a...
I would say it would be best in a certain type or a certain number of residential districts, either one residential district or two residential districts, but not be an absolute use, be a special use permit within a certain type of residential district.
Okay, so
right now,
an R1, for example, but come in and get a special use permit of the R1.
Right now, as you go down through this list here, we decided to set up two commercial districts. One,
yes.
What we call neighborhood commercial.
Right.
Which our special use permits would fall under that, our bed and breakfast, different things like that. So
that's where you would put it. Is
that's
like
kind of where our thinking was, is how we were going to address that when we got to it. Those particular districts would not be used to establish commercial compatibility for rezoning of another piece of property. Right now, under our special use permits, they're granted the right to do that. It's particular to the person, to the property. Any one of those things changes, the use goes
away.
Which
is pretty standard.
But if you come in and want to put a gas station next door and say, that's commercial, we would say that's a special use, and it's stated in our code book that's not used to establish. So we have, whether it stays there or not, we are addressing that in the C1.
Thank you.
Before you go farther, the folks that you've been talking to, they're concerned about these nightly rentals in a residential district, is that correct?
They're not so much concerned about the nightly rentals. Mostly people are in the Stone County side that are coming to me and say, please address this because we didn't address it properly in Stone County. And so what they're saying is, make sure the resident, they're having a lot of people from out of state buying houses right now because it's a very buyer's market, obviously.
Right.
People are saying, I'm just going to buy it and turn it into a nightly rental, and it's the middle of a residential neighborhood.
Right.
They didn't address it over there. They're just making sure that there's some sort of process in which, if it's residential, you've got to go through some sort of public announcement, a process, so that the neighborhood has an opportunity to speak out in opposition or in support of a change.
And we have that rule somewhat now, correct?
Yes, sir. If you remember, last year, around April or so, I brought that to you as an amendment to the code book, and we do have that, and it was something that we incorporated in here.
And I guess my question was, do we want to create a district?
Well, and that's why we stuck it in C1, the neighborhood-type businesses and everything. Now, you may, there's a lot more to consider. Is it going to be a permitted use in these areas here, or how are you going to go about that? But that's future. But we do have that in the district this time. You may see
that. And it wasn't they were against it. They just want to make sure. In Stone County, there's no process change. You can just buy it and switch, and you're done. And that's caused a lot of heartburn right now with some real estate agents, some neighborhoods, and then new homeowners.
And making them go through the process will also help the assessor as well. Right now, you look on Vacation Rental by Owners or one of the other sites, and you can find all these homes in the Branson area. You don't know if they're in Stone County or Taney County or maybe in some other county. And you don't know where they're located, so you can't tell which houses are being used for commercial use.
These people are using it for a commercial, and they're being taxed at 19% rather than 32%.
Right.
If they have to go through the process and be identified, then the assessor would be helped by knowing where they were.
Correct. Okay. Thank you.
Sean.
Just back to the residential stuff, which is what we're working on today, I think, right?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
That's what I'm working on.
First of all, I want to echo what Mr. Preston said, that I agree with what he said, and there's a ton of work to do, and I've said it many times in here before, just because we've done something wrong before doesn't mean we ought to keep doing it that way. Let's fix what we can, and
right.
And I appreciate us looking at trying to get those things fixed, and thank you. I know it's a long, hard job, and I do appreciate you guys looking at that. I don't have an agenda. Somebody asked me to serve a long time ago, and I've got a heart for it, and I just want to do it and do it the best way I know how. So that's why I'm a part of that committee. Don't own property here, there, whatever, but I do try to look at it from a standpoint of protecting all the citizens of Taney County, whether they've been here for hundreds of years, whether they moved here yesterday, and we also have to look at the people that are going to be hundreds of years from now. That's the way I look at my job, as being a part of the Planning and Zoning Committee. And they all should be treated equally. I couldn't agree with you more on that. But that shouldn't matter whether they've been here years and years or whether they're going to be here years from now. Anyway, residential stuff. And you kind of answered it, but I wasn't sure. I just wanted to ask this. So when we look at that and know, R1, R3, R5, if you happen to be in an R5, and when James brought this up, that's what got me thinking about it. If it happens to be zoned R5, as long as they meet all the criteria for a single-family home, let's say, can they build R1 in there? Because, you know, you were talking about, and we'll go back to the specific example of Yogi Berra. If it's zoned R5 and they go ahead and build what would we consider an R1, as long as they meet the minimum standards, can they do that? I mean, I thought you kind of alluded to that, but that's the question I have.
The problems you see when you think of Big Bear and places like that is that they built and didn't meet the criteria.
Okay, but if they don't meet the criteria, that's a totally different deal, and I don't even want to get into that, because if they don't meet the criteria, they shouldn't build.
In theory, unless it's changed, something like that, if they come up with an 8,000-square-foot lot,
right,
meet all the setbacks, everything like that, then yes, they would be able to build an R1.
Okay, I agree. I think they should be able to. I just wanted to make sure.
There shouldn't be special arrangements made for them to do that.
Because when you mentioned earlier there were some single-family homes in there, I didn't want to make the assumption that they hadn't met the criteria, but that's what I figured. So that's why I wanted to ask that question.
I would think you'd be hard-pressed to find.
So if we're looking at R1, R3, or R5, if you zone them R5, if somebody wanted to build a single-family home in there, they still can.
Yes.
As long as they meet the criteria. Okay, that's all. That was my only question to get us.
All right, thank you.
Pat.
Chuck, when you asked me when I come in if I had something special, I thought you would be taking a recess. I have to be up at the senior center at 10 o'clock to work the desk today. I just wanted to give you some papers. I was in here yesterday. I could not find the four of you, and I was very happy when I found out you would all be in one spot today. Thank you.
Okay.
And the only reason these names are on there is I was going to ask you to initial them, so that Monday we do not have any problems, that nobody had a chance to read this. It is a copy of the Senior Services Fund, the wording of the ballot, and everything else is on it.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Pat. I'd like to ask Dan to come up and address the issue. Oh, you got us copies.
Before you start, can I get a couple-minute recess? That's good. If you want to do it right now, or can we...
Yeah, you need a couple-minute recess?
Can we just do a couple-minute
recess? Yeah, we've been at an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Let's take a two-minute recess.
And then you can start fresh there.